It's time for our monthly catch-up as we head across the Atlantic to speak with John Rafferty, the Chief Executive of the CNIB. Right, with a few topics to chat about today, and I suppose one of global interest, you know, is the COVID vaccine. So what's the stage at the moment in Canada, and is it an accessible thing to get to or get information on?
If it was going to be a two-year journey to vaccinations as opposed to the next 4 months, we would want to be more, ensure that there was more prioritization. But based on how it will roll out, now that we are beginning the journey that the UK began 3 months ago, we'll be fine. And I think the second thing we talked about was the accessibility of all the processes, from booking your appointment to transportation to and from, the way that you're treated and the way that you receive information on the day of vaccination, with any concerns you have post-vaccination. You know, we've sent something to the health ministers in each of the provinces. We've been receiving very positive written responses and positive affirmation from the community that the process for booking is largely very accessible, that the information is largely accessible, that the way that people are being treated on their vaccination day, having a sighted guide if necessary or attendant with them, is inclusive and accessible. So I think that we're in a good place.
I suppose accessibility, again, we're going to chat about in terms of, I'll use the word libraries, which we say libraries are literature, we probably just think about books. But in the 21st century, you know, that our consumption of any kind of literature is ever changing.
It is. And I think that the way that we consume things around the world through the process with the Marrakesh Treaty and through the way that domestically governments funded the creation and distribution of books for blind and partially sighted residents, I think was done quite well. But it was done in a world where what we were doing was making, in quotes, a book accessible. And we need to broaden that definition with some urgency to include, you know, all the forms of data that need to be accessible for all Canadians, whether they be podcasts or whether they're articles, you know, whether they're journals, and having a very myopic view of things that is just a book is actually getting in the way in terms of who's responsible for ensuring that this content is accessible. And we need to come out of the library bubble into the 21st century and talk about all media needs to be accessible, no matter what form it takes or what distribution model it has, not just the things that are on shelves in physical buildings we called libraries.
It's an interesting point, you know, when we think about how we communicate stories, even, you know, whether it's in social media, whether it's on blogs, you know, you're always extending that, oh, who do we have to see now to make sure that they are accessible, not only for those who want to use them in terms of posting or creating literature, but for those who want to read it as well.
Absolutely. You know, from the music industry's perspective, you know, we went through a number of phases, some of which were disrupting the industry, to land at a point where whatever your app of choice is, if you've got Spotify, which happens to be an app I have, then you've got access basically to every piece of music searchable in any way you want. We need that for the written word, regardless of whether it's in the form of a book or any other form. Surely there should be some central place where you can access it wherever you are in the world in the format that you need to consume it.
There you go, Spotify for literature, the written word. Interesting one there. Let's take one more topic, John. We've got time to look a little bit at education. I'm thinking, has there been perhaps good and bad through lockdown from this? You know, I'm thinking in terms of more accessible IT, but perhaps the ability to make documents and coursework accessible, perhaps lagging behind slightly?
I think certainly in Canada, it's highlighted the fact that our students who are blind or partially sighted, they have had an increased burden during this process. You know, asking a parent of a sighted child to educate and be a part of their education system at home is one thing. Asking a parent to educate someone who is a Braille user at home is something entirely different. I think it's highlighted how far behind education systems are in supporting their kids with the technology that they need. And it's also highlighted the inequality that exists within everything that surrounds the teaching of the academic work during the education system and all of the EQ components to developing socially, which have been a challenge for all children because of lockdown. We really need to redefine what an inclusive and accessible education looks like, redefine who are the teams of people that need to support the child and the parents through that journey, because it doesn't do anyone any good to have kids coming out of the other end of the system that don't have the confidence, skills, and the tools to be able to participate, whether it be economically or otherwise, but to participate as a full member of the community that they live in. We need to figure out, how do we fix it?
Well, we talk about accessible education, we think about the student or the pupil, but you know, there are blind and partially sighted parents who want to be a part of their children's education, whether that's, you know, involvement with the place of learning or just helping them with their homework.
Being able to go as a chaperone on a field trip. Some of my most favorite memories for my two girls when they were growing up was when I was able to be a chaperone on a field trip, either for a day trip or a couple of days trip. Those are really special moments, and I think they're special for the kids and the parents. And how we help teach parents to help support things at home has been emphasized across for all parents of all children. But there is some nuance for that, for the parents who are blind or partially sighted with sighted children, and for the parents who are sighted with blind or partially sighted children. And I think there's a lot more we can do. We need to ask a lot of questions first. We don't have an assumption that we have the answer by any means, and we're not going to fix it tomorrow. But I think what this has done is, it's certainly for us in Canada, we've lit a fire under this one, and we're about to undergo the question asking period, the research phase of understanding how do we define success in education, and then who needs to play a role and how.
John, we are almost out of time, but if people would like to learn more about CNIB, the work you do, and your virtual events, of course, what's the best way to do that?
Follow us on Twitter, catch our content on Facebook. Our traditional website, which is cnib.ca, has got a lot of great content. And we have hundreds of virtual programs taking place every week, from cooking groups to teen makeup groups to technology training. They're in English and in French at various time zones. Anyone listening to this, go to our website and you can look at all the virtual programs and join some Canadian brethren and have some fun.
Get involved. John, we'll catch up with you again next month, but thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for your continued interest, Alan.